What's up? Hi, welcome to the program. I'm Ron. Hi, nice to meet you. Don't shake my hand. I don't want to touch you. Right now, everybody's got the flu or a severe cold, chest congestion, runny nose. I can't handle this. Not only is there a cold lurking around and a strain for the flu, there's like millions of strains of the flu all over the place. You can get the flu two times in a row. I did not know that. So now I have to wash my hands every 6 seconds and pour hand sanitizer over my crotch just to make sure that I'm 100% germ-free at all times. I must have no germs on me at all. Oh my God, I touched my face. I should see a doctor immediately. There's a lot of paranoia going on for those that care. If you're a hypochondriac, this is a horrible season for you. Oh my God, look, there's dirt in the corner. Doctor, I'm going to die. I touched a piece of dirt. It's a very, very bad time if you're a hypochondriac. If you're not a hypochondriac, then whatever. How you doing?
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Mm-hmm. Things can get a bit weird.
Oh, yeah.
If you like that sort of thing.
I don't know if I do or not, to be honest with you.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program, everybody. How are you today? Most people are paying for this right now. If you're listening to this for free, congratulations. Somehow you figured out how to do that. Of course, the embellished, enhanced version of the program costs $29.95 for a lot of my listeners, $29.95 per month. Thank you for paying that, by the way. And of course, with the enhanced version, you get a picture of me milking a cow. That comes with the subscription along with your copy of Scholastic Magazine. So it's worth it, yeah. But if you're listening to the show for free, you're just kind of getting the show itself and none of the extras that come with a subscription. Like with the subscription, you actually get nuts and sprinkles, you see? So it's better. Well, hi. Hello. How are you? Dr. Heather Hawthorne will be joining us later on in the program. She's a very interesting doctor, merely because she does this thing called Doctor on Demand. Have you thought, Dr. Phil talks about this. I think it's Dr. Phil's company. I'm not sure about that. Dr. Phil claims he's created everything. So I can't really believe anything he says anymore. He's starting to annoy me, by the way. His wife, Robin McGraw, apparently started her own skincare company. And now on every Dr. Phil show at the end of the show, he hawks his wife's skincare stuff. I can see what's going on. You know, his wife is saying, Dr. Phil, you're so famous, and you're the number one show on daytime television, as you keep telling me, and I don't have any identity. How about if I started a skin cream business? Then you could promote it on your show. Oh, that sounds wonderful, Robin. And that's what he does. It's very odd. Dr. Phil will go through his entire show talking about somebody who has like only one leg or was horribly abused and raped as a child. And then he says, well, I'll tell you something. It's horrible, and we're going to pay for therapy for you. And we're going to give you some skincare cream as well. My wife, Robin, it's an anti-aging cream, and you look wonderful, and you feel great.
What are you talking about? I'm just talking how I was abused and raped as a child.
I know, but, you know, you've got to take care of your skin. You know, it just doesn't add up. It's starting to annoy me. Everybody's got an angle on something these days. Anyway, doctor on demand, you don't go to the doctor necessarily. You can get a doctor on your smartphone with your little camera in your smartphone or in front of your laptop and see a doctor online and resolve your situation online without ever going to a doctor's office. So we're going to talk to her later on, and we're going to get some of the real facts about all these people with colds and flus all over the place. And I'm not just saying that. Everybody I run into either has a severe cold, just had a severe cold, or a severe cold is coming on. Everybody. 2-year-old infants, 90-year-old people, everybody in between. Everybody's sick. And mentally sick as well. But that's besides the point. I'm not going to get into that right now. When I was growing up, whenever I say that, I feel old. When you start the conversation with that phrase, it's all over, you know.
When I was growing up, back in the 1620s, Columbus said to me, when I was growing up, we didn't have people. There were dinosaurs, and some of the dinosaurs had the flu.
When I was growing up, doctors actually didn't work in big buildings. They worked out of their home. There would be a little side door to their house, and that would be their little doctor's office. And they would hire some ungodly matronly woman, and it was always a woman, to sit outside of the little doctor office in the guy's house. And she would be the receptionist slash nurse. So she had a slash job. And all these sick people would go to this guy's house and sit on a couch, and then the doctor would call them into the room. They had offices in their houses, and there were no female doctors at all. If you were a female, one thing you could not be was a doctor. I'm sure there were a few, but I don't think so. This is 1823, I think it was. No, it wasn't that long ago, actually. There were no medical groups, nothing like that. These people worked out of their house, downstairs room, separate entrance. And I remember sitting there with all these sick people, terribly sick people, looking like this was the last place that they were going to be breathing. This was, they should be, rather than being doctor's office, should have really been perhaps an embalming fluid wholesale place, because these people look like they were all about to expire. And here I'm sitting there because I have the sniffles, and I'm sitting among people that look like this is it for them. This is, might as well gather the family into the waiting room. This might be as far as it goes. I don't know how much doctors knew back then, because it seemed like their entire lives, their entire medical practice, was contained within a black bag, the famous black bag. These doctors lived in their houses and did practice in their houses, and you didn't have to drive. You could walk to the doctor's office because it was usually somebody in the neighborhood who was the doctor. And everybody went there if you were in a neighborhood. It was all walking distance stuff. Yeah, I have the flu. Do you want me to drive you? No, I'll walk. It's just a few houses down. Not a big deal. It was weird. It was just a weird time. You know, when I was a child, I didn't want to go to school at all, ever. And every once in a while, I faked an illness. Oh, I have a splitting headache, Mom. I can't go. I'm feeling really warm and weak and achy. I can't go. I don't want to infect the other children. I'm feeling horrible. And my mother would say, okay, get back in bed. And she would bring me up a little breakfast and some hot chocolate. And I could, it was toasty. And then she would say to me, now you stay here. I've called the doctor. He should be here in about an hour.
You did what? You called the doctor? No, that's not what I wanted. I just wanted you to get me in bed here and I would stay here. I didn't think a doctor would be coming, or you didn't call the doctor, did you? No. Oh, no. The jig is up.
Any kid that was faking an illness, when his mother said, you relax, I've called the doctor, that was the kiss of death. You knew it was all over. You knew you were going to be found out. There's nothing wrong with you. The smarter kids came up with stuff that a doctor couldn't detect, like an incredible splitting headache where you cannot function, you're a little bit dizzy, and the doctor would come over and say, well, you seem to be okay, but how am I going to know if you have a headache? I don't have anything in my black bag here that monitors your headache. That's the smart way of doing it. If you said you had a temperature, you're screwed, because the doctor's going to come over and he's going to verify what your mother verified. You don't have a temperature. He's going to look at your throat and say, you're just fine. Doctor's going to give it up. You're going to get in trouble. So I had to be creative with my excuses for not going to school, like the splitting headache, that kind of thing. And my back hurts. Who has an 8-year-old child with extreme back problems? Not too many people.
My son, he's 8 years old. He claims he's getting back problems from working out too much. I have no idea why, but how can he have back problems at 8 years old?
It's possible. I don't know. I can't examine that. That's not in my black bag. You got to be creative if you're going to be sick, you know? Don't be stupid. I tried that once, and it didn't work. I said I had a temperature. My mother said, all right, stay in bed. I'm going to go get the thermometer.
She's going to get the thermometer. Oh, no.
So I would quickly get out of bed, I'd run over. We had radiator heaters in my bedroom. There were these big iron monstrosities, and they gave out heat. And if you touched it, you'd burn your hand off. These radiators were very, very hot, very, very hot. And here's what I would do: I would get a towel or something in my room that was somewhat porous, and I would hold it up against this radiator heater, and whatever it was, the towel or a cloth or a t-shirt, it would get really, really hot, hot to the touch. And then I take this thing and I put it on my forehead. I put it on my forehead and I'd wrap it around my throat, but basically on my forehead, because I know that moms put their hand up to your forehead to see if you have a temperature. It doesn't say anything, but a mom, if they feel that your forehead is hot, you're going to be staying home. It's a pretty good deal, thermometer or no thermometer. So I take this thing and I put it on my forehead. It's almost scalding hot. I mean, I don't want any red marks showing up on my forehead like I burned myself. Ron, how'd you do that? You have a temperature and you burned your forehead? What? So I would do that, and then I would hear my mother coming back down the upstairs hallway with the thermometer. I knew she had it in her hand, and she was on her way, and I jumped back in bed really, really quickly. And I would play dramatic music. I had it hooked up, just a little button next to my bed. When I hit it, the dramatic music would come up. And my mother would say, where's that dramatic music coming from? And said, don't pay any attention to that. It's just for effect. And she would take her hand and put it over my forehead and go, oh my God, you are not well. And then she would take the thermometer and she used to shove it up my ass, but that was hard to, you couldn't really, that was tough to fake, the shove it up the ass thing. But then when I got to around 8 years old, the thermometer went in my mouth. No more shoving up the ass stuff. Thank God, huh? until I turned 50. Then I did the colonoscopy and I found out what shoving up the ass was really like. The thermometer was nothing in comparison. Anyway, she'd put the thermometer in my mouth and it would take about 3 minutes. So she would leave the room, you know, I don't know what she did, the laundry or something. I don't know. In those days, that's what women did. They did the dishes, cooked, and did the laundry. And unfortunately, that's what my mother did for a living.
What do you do, Mrs. Van Dam, for a living?
I do the laundry. That's about it. And happily so, proudly so. She's proud of that. So those are the old days. Dinosaurs, the whole bit. So she'd be away for 3 minutes, and I would take the thermometer out of my mouth, and I would hold it up to my forehead, which was still hot, and I would watch the mercury go up. Now, there's an art to this, ladies and gentlemen. You have to constantly put the thermometer in the warm place, like the forehead, you know, that you made hot, but don't let it get too high. Don't let it get too high, because if it gets too high, then you're screwed really, really badly. Your mom comes back and reads the thermometer and says, oh my God, you have 120. At that point, her first reaction is, he's going to be dead any second. Your second reaction is, wait a minute, you don't have 100. That's impossible. So you got to know what you're doing. Don't lie if you don't know how to lie. When I got older, I lived in Jackson Heights, New York, and I was in my 20s. I think I was only 20 or 21 or something like that. I was going to college at New York University. No football team. They don't have football teams in New York University. No. They have entitled kids that walk around. That's all they have. That's their team. Their team is entitled kids walking around. That's their team. So I remember being sick a few times, and my doctor was Dr. Golden, Jackson Heights, New York. Look him up. He's dead now. And I'll tell you why. I used to go to Dr. Golden, and this was in an apartment building on the first floor, and the Dr. Golden lived in this apartment building, and he leased out an office on the first floor, and again, basically out of his home, and he hired this woman that nobody would... In those days, for some reason, most women were not overly sexually attractive. I don't think it was acceptable or something. Just about every woman that had a job was not attractive. To match, every man that had a job was also not attractive. In other words, nobody was attractive. Back then, nobody was attractive. I don't think they had much problem with sexual assault and things like that because nobody was attractive. Solve that problem. So, of course, I exaggerate. So I every once in a while I'd be sick and I'd go to this Dr. Golden guy who was, again, about a block away from where I lived, block away from my apartment. And I'd walk in and there'd be all these people who were incredibly sick. There was no movement of air in this waiting room at all. It was just whatever these people were breathing is what I'm going to be breathing. And I should have never gone there, but back then, you didn't think about that stuff. You didn't think that people coughing in a room was going to affect you. They just happened to be people in a room coughing. Now it's like, oh, you got to wear a surgical mask and, hand sanitizer, wear a surgical mask, don't breathe, don't talk, don't move. It's horrible. So I'm sitting there and people are coughing all over me and I'm figuring, whatever, at least I feel better than them. Well, Ron, maybe now you feel better than them. When you leave the place with all the germs that are in this waiting room, you're not going to feel better than them. And the nurse / receptionist she would say, Ron, the doctor will see you next. And I would walk into this examining room and the doctor would come in. Dr. Golden chain smoked. He was a chain smoking doctor. Looking back on it, I don't know why I didn't change doctors, but he would smoke while he examined me. And he did all the old school stuff that I don't think even really makes a difference anymore. He would hold a stethoscope up to my chest. And at times, he missed my chest, you know, and he'd be telling me to breathe while he held his stethoscope on my elbow. It just started not to make sense. He would take this little hammer and ask me to cross my leg, and then he would hit my knee with this rubber hammer. And I said at one point, "Why are you hitting my knee?" And he said, "I don't know. That's what they taught me in school. It's in the book. I have no idea. I don't know. I like hitting people with hammers in the knee. I have no idea. I'm practicing to be Tonya Harding." Fine, whatever. I didn't know who that was at that point in my life. And then he would take a tongue depressor, which would depress my tongue greatly, and stick it in my mouth and ask me to say ah until I was real close to throwing up. You know, that tongue depressor goes a little bit too far down the tongue. You're going to throw up on the doctor. And I would say, you know, I said, "What are you looking at? Why are you?" He says, "Well, I want to see the back of your throat." And I said, "Well, why don't you just ask me here?" "Oh, okay. Sorry. Why'd you need to depress my tongue? Why are you depressing my tongue like that?" He would look at my eyes and in my ears. I don't know why. I don't know what you're going to find in there. If there was a lot of wax in my ear, what would he say? "Ron, you have a lot of wax in your ear." "I know. That's why I have Q-tips at home. What's your problem here? What does that have to do with the way I feel?" And he'd be chain smoking through the whole thing, and I was always okay. He never prescribed anything for me. Everything that he told me to do was over the counter. So I just don't understand the point of him. I found out one day, decades later, that Dr. Golden had died. And to be honest with you, my reaction wasn't, "Oh my God, that's horrible." My reaction was, "What took him so long?" This guy chain smoked in front of my face. A doctor. You know, it's interesting. If you go to a hospital, hope you never do, but if you go to the hospital, and you're parking your car, before you walk into the hospital, look around the side of the building. That's where the nurses are. They stand outside because you can't smoke inside the hospital. Nurses smoke a lot. And I could never figure that out. Maybe because it's a stressful job, an unpopular job. I don't know the reason for it. But nurses, both male and female, you'll catch them on the side of the building smoking a lot on their break. And I'm thinking, if there's one sect of professionals that would know smoking is bad for you, it probably would be a hospital nurse. Yet they all seem to smoke. Now, not every single one of them. Maybe one out of 100 dozen smoke. But I could never figure that part of it out. This may not be historically accurate in any sense of but I'm assuming. I have no idea. All right, it's time to speak to our guests, I believe, because I'm just rambling on here, and that's not proper, is it? We're going to talk to our guest, Dr. Heather Hawthorne, all about how you're not feeling very well. We'll talk you into that, and we'll find out what's going on these days with all these people with these tremendously harsh colds, and we'll do that right after this.
To create each episode of the Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Dr. Heather Hawthorne joins us now. She's board-certified family practice physician with Doctor on Demand. And how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Ron. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
This is such an important topic.
Yes, it is. I guess it's nice to have someone ask how you are as a change when you were asking people how they are all the time.
And I have a better answer than them. Unfortunately, I'm seeing so many sick people right now. So, yeah. Yes, I'm well.
Yeah, what is going on? Over the holiday season, certainly, I was sick myself, certainly with a severe cold. A lot of friends I had the flu, and yet we were kind of all inoculated.
Yeah, it has been really, really nasty cold and flu season. I've seen patients and their family members that keep getting cold after cold and now influenza running through their household since Thanksgiving. It's been a really tough season.
Can you actually get cold after cold? I didn't know that. I thought once you had one, you're good for a little while.
Oh, I wish that was the case. Oh. There are thousands of different strains, and they just keep coming.
Oh, my God. Ugh. So, ugh. If I shake somebody's hand who's coughing, am I in trouble?
You are in trouble.
No, don't say that.
Ron, it's so important that everyone be really diligent about washing your hands right now. And more important than that, don't touch your face. I'm guilty of it. I've probably touched my face 5 times since we've been talking. But keep your hands off your face, because that's a quick way to get those contaminants from your hand into the respiratory tract where cold and flu viruses like to thrive.
So what is actually happening? Why is this so prevalent this year?
So a couple of things. The first issue is that this is a particularly severe strain of influenza that we're seeing the most of right now. So it makes people very, very sick, and they're typically sick a little bit longer, which means longer contagious period.
Yeah.
The other real struggle this season is that it's everywhere all at once. So it's everywhere at the same time, and it's much earlier than we've seen in recent years past. So it's a real strain even on the healthcare industry. It's hard to get the care you need when you need it when you're sick right now.
All right. All right, I got a few questions for you, so you can't leave the room just yet.
Okay.
All right. Now, I never know what to do about it. There are so many cold medications over the counter and such, and for different reasons. The only time I really get nervous is when the cold gets into my chest, because that becomes a respiratory thing. Is that indeed like where you draw the line? You say, okay, I got to do something about this.
Hey, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, you definitely, if you're feeling chest congestion, having a bad cough, any difficulty breathing or changes in your breathing, definitely want to, you know, get some medical advice at that point. But you can even just have a lot of nasal and sinus congestion, and that can become something more severe, like a sinus infection.
All right. How do I know when I can just take care of myself and when I should call a physician?
That's a good question, especially right now. A really bad cold can look a lot like influenza. Mm-hmm. You don't want to miss the treatment window of opportunity with influenza. You have about 48 hours from the time the symptoms start to the time that the Tamiflu prescriptions that are available are less effective.
Uh-huh.
So if you're not sure, definitely check with a doctor.
And define influenza for me.
So influenza is the flu, so it's a virus, like cold viruses, but much more severe. You typically have high fevers, those body aches and extreme fatigue.
Okay, so I'm going to know when I have it, that's for sure. Okay, that's good. All right, yes, if I have a temperature and I have a cold, that's pretty much not a good deal. Okay.
Yeah, not a good deal at all.
All right, fine. What about my medicine cabinet? Actually, I don't have a medicine cabinet. I have a mirror that's directly attached to the wall, but that's not the situation. what kind of things should I have around to prepare myself for this?
Number one, nasal saline. I think that's important to start anytime you feel a little stuffy, any drainage in your throat.
Right.
It's important to go ahead and have Mucinex or a similar product available. Mm-hmm. Help get rid of that icky, sticky mucus that causes us so much misery. You're going to want fever reducers and pain relievers, so ibuprofen, acetaminophen, especially with the flu. Those fevers get pretty high.
Yeah.
They make you feel really exhausted and your body hurts. Other than that, it's a good idea to have some nasal steroid spray. I know we think of Flonase and Nasacort for seasonal allergies, but they're really good for head colds and sinus infections and even the flu. It's not a medicine, but you need a thermometer because you need to be able to figure out how high those fevers are. So definitely have that on hand.
Okay. Now, what if I'm just don't want to go to the doctor? To be honest with you, when I go to the doctor and I'm sitting in the waiting room, there's sick people in there. And maybe I don't need to sit there like that. Are there other alternatives for me to be seen without being seen?
Absolutely. That's where telemedicine comes in. That's what I do. There's no reason to leave your house when you're feeling miserable. I have patients that call me from bed because they just don't feel like getting up. So telemedicine is a fast, affordable, efficient way to see a board-certified physician on, you know, your schedule when it's convenient for you. Doctor on Demand is available 24/7, 365 days a year. So there's no excuse to try to ride these cold and flu illnesses out without the help of a medical professional.
So can a doctor actually make a diagnosis without touching you or running tests on you physically?
Absolutely. You know, the flu generally is a clinical diagnosis. Uh-huh. And by that, I mean, we look at your presentation. We look at the symptoms. How do you feel?
Yeah.
What are, you know, overall symptoms, and kind of talk you through some physical exam. That's the nice thing about video visits.
Yeah.
We actually get to kind of teach you to do some of the exam for us while we observe we would do in the clinic. So we make the diagnosis. If you needed some labs, we can obviously order those for you. And then, of course, we write the prescriptions, which with flu, you know, a lot of people end up needing Tamiflu, which is a prescription medication.
Okay. Because my doctor's holding stethoscopes to my back and my front, asking me to hold my breath, taking my blood pressure, feeling my throat to see if it's swollen. But I guess through your instructions, I can do that on myself?
You can do a lot of that. Now, there are going to be times where a more comprehensive lung exam, for example, it's really important to have someone listening to you breathe in and out while they've got the stethoscope there. There are times where that's important, but getting some background information, how high are your fevers, I can talk you through counting your heart rate so that I know if you're having a rapid heart rate or really sluggish heart rate. I can look for signs of dehydration through some basic physical exam. Obviously, I can look down your throat, look into your nose, kind of get a feel. Sinuses. So there's a lot that we can do. We do a lot of the same things that we would do in the clinic, except we don't have to touch you.
Oh. So how do you look down my throat? Do I have to put the camera down my throat like a colonoscopy?
Yeah, webcams and the cameras on our smartphones are actually pretty good quality. So you get that camera close enough to your mouth, we can actually get a good view of what's going on in the back of the throat.
Maybe someday you could do colonoscopies without me having to go in there.
Hey, that's outside my scope, but sounds great.
Good answer. Good answer. Okay. All right, so Doctor on Demand. So how do I get all this information here? Because a lot of us are probably going to need it.
Yes, doctorondemand.com. Go there to learn more about the company that I work for. We do treat 18 of the top 20 reasons that would send you to an ER, and a lot more beyond that. We accept insurance, and you can find out more about that on our website, doctorondemand.com. If you don't have insurance, you can always pay out of pocket as well.
Okay, one more question, Doctor. Is it too late to get a flu shot? Have they got the strain down to the point where even if I did get it, it would be the right one? There are so many of them out there.
Okay, Ron, did you get your shot yet? No, it's not too late.
Well, wait a minute. Yes, I did.
I
got it back in October as a Halloween thing. And I never really got the flu, but I had a severe cold. But get one is what you're saying anyway.
Get a flu shot. It is not too late. We have weeks and weeks of flu season left.
Yeah.
There will be multiple circulating strains in the community. So even if you've had the flu once, if you didn't get the flu shot, you should still go get a flu shot. It's not the best. I mean, it's not going to cover for everything, but it's the best we have, and it does provide some protection. If you've had the shot, usually when you do get the flu, if you do get the flu, your symptoms aren't quite as severe. So definitely, there's still time. Go get it.
Okay. But if you had the shot like me in October, don't get it again, right?
Don't get it again. Okay. If you've already had it this 2017-2018 flu season, you should be covered.
Okay. I've gotten so much information out of you, I feel like I'm going to get a bill because I've gotten so much information. But I think this was complimentary.
Well, you can go ahead and give me your credit card.
I'll do off the air. All right. Dr. Heather Hawthorne, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. Have yourself a wonderful day. I'll be back with you again the next weekday that we encounter together. Until then, I wish you peace. Wash your hands now. Now that you've listened to the show, wash your hands. And wash your brain. Is that like brainwashing? What is that? Brainwashing isn't that, is it? That's something else. Everybody now, sing along.